The Rogue Ghost, Episode 14. Suddenly, a voice dripping with malice shattered the tranquil sanctuary, its chilling resonance echoing off the ancient stone walls like a malevolent symphony. "Did you really think you were the only ones that used hacked shimmer rings?" The words slithered through the air like serpents, weaving a sinister tapestry of deceit and betrayal that sent a shiver down my spine. At that moment, the illusion of safety crumbled like ancient parchment, revealing the harsh reality of our precarious situation. The voice, devoid of warmth or compassion, carried with it a weight of foreboding, an ominous warning that pierced the very fabric of our existence. Hey there, folks. Welcome to what could possibly be the most shocking episode of the Rogue Ghost podcast to date. Buckle up, because it's just you and me today, navigating the ever-twisting pathways of arcane secrets and revelations untold. In a twist of fate's own making, I'm riding solo this time around, yep, just Runeweaver at the helm, steering us through the cryptic landscapes of mystery without my usual partner in crime. Let's just say the Rogue Ghost is, for the moment, out of commission. All will be revealed as our story unfolds. Here we stand on the precipice of the unknown, with Destiny's map unfurled before us, challenging us to decipher its roots and hidden passageways. The Rogue Ghost's absence might throw a bit of shade our way, but hey, I've got a torch, or should I say, a beacon of knowledge to light our path. Equipped with a fierce resolve and a knack for unraveling the most puzzling of mysteries, I'm here to guide us through the twists and turns of this epic narrative we've been weaving together. So, gather around, my curious friends. Ready yourselves for a thrilling adventure, tinged with a sprinkle of peril. We are on the cusp of delving deep into the chronicles of intrigue and marvel, where the boundaries of our exploration are as limitless as our collective curiosity. Let's dive headlong into this escapade, for in the grand saga of the mystical, the most precious discoveries are unearthed not at our destination, but throughout the voyage. Alright, let's slice into the juicy center of our tale. Picture this, RG and I, casting our shadows on the sacred turf of St. Agnes Church, all while the air is practically vibrating with old-world gossip and the weight of our own buzzing anticipation. There's this stained glass window. A gorgeous piece of art that's been keeping an eye on the Henry sisters' saga, bathing us in a disco of ancient light patterns, pointing us towards a mystical keyhole intricately woven into its design. At that moment, it felt like reality itself was holding its breath, probably wondering what on earth we were up to this time. A glance between me and RG, no words necessary, just a here we go again vibe, and boom, we're locked in silent agreement. That key, perched all dramatic-like, on Jacques Vincent's gravestone, wasn't just sitting pretty for its health. Oh no, it was our next breadcrumb, or maybe more like a whole loaf, leading us deeper into our mystery maze. With a shared nod, loaded with all the sass and determination you've come to expect, we made our unspoken pact to crack open whatever secrets this key and its oh-so-mysterious gravestone inscription were clutching tight. Back in the cemetery, as twilight began to throw its cloak over the day, RG and I were once again poised on the brink of yet another revelation. Picture this, Jacques Vincent's grave in front of us, with RG ceremoniously waving the Christmas card at it like he's trying to get a phone signal in the middle of nowhere. And wouldn't you know it, fate, or at least our mystical Christmas card, decided to drop us a line. A beam, sharp and focused like the spotlight on a stage, swept across the gravestone like it was scanning for something juicy. Then, random letters in the inscription, suddenly hit by this otherworldly spotlight, started to glow with an ethereal orange, standing out like neon signs in a sleepy town. They were all jumbled up, a hot mess that would send anyone without a love for puzzles running for the hills. But hey, puzzles are my bread and butter, and this little anagram was just begging to be solved. With a bit of mental gymnastics and a dash of flair, I rearranged the letters with the excitement of a kid solving their first crossword puzzle. Secret. That was the word that stared back at us, as clear as a full moon on a cloudless night. As if acknowledging my moment of brilliance, the card's lantern turned its beam to the stone key on Jacques' grave. Magic unfolded right before our eyes. The key, under the spotlight, did a little metamorphosis number, and voila, a bronze key stood in its place, real and as tangible as the thrill of the chase. This wasn't just any old magic trick, it was like the grand finale of a fireworks show, leaving us with a key that felt like it could unlock the mysteries of the universe, or at least the next chapter of our adventure. Standing there, in the growing darkness of the cemetery, I couldn't help but think, "Magic, you've got nothing on me." It was a testament to our journey, a blend of sass, brains, and a touch of the supernatural, all rolled into one epic quest. But our moment of victory, as rich and satisfying as the final chord of a symphony, was undercut by an all-too-familiar chill. The specter of danger, ever present, cast its long shadow across our path. There, in a scene that sent a ripple of unease through the air, were three Cerberus Syndicate agents, engaged in hushed conversation with Sister Marie-Thérèse. The atmosphere thickened with tension, the enchanted glasses flashing alerts like fireworks on the 4th of July, painting each agent in a stark hue of warning. With instincts sharpened on the edge of our numerous brushes with danger, a silent alarm bell rang clear and urgent between us. It was a call to discretion, a reminder that sometimes, the boldest move is to step back into the shadows. Exchanging a look heavy with unspoken strategy, we made our choice, a tactical withdrawal, a return to the sanctuary of our watermill refuge. There I was, hunkered down in the dim, flickering ambience of our watermill's subterranean haven, my sanctuary of screens casting a lone beacon of light in the murky depths of our hideout. With our escapade in Montreal hitting a momentary pause, my thoughts circled back to that intriguing post on the Odyssey Seekers site, pulling my focus to Prague Castle, now sprawling across my screens. This storied fortress, a mosaic of history and riddles, now beckoned us into its depths, a new chapter in our ongoing saga. Its walls, thick with history and intrigue, seemed almost to whisper across the miles, though their voices were muffled, tangled in the web of Cerberus Syndicate machinations that defied easy unraveling. My fingers flew across the keyboard, diving into the cyber sea with the grace of a digital mermaid, navigating through currents of data and pockets of encrypted silence. I was on a quest, chasing the specter of understanding through the halls of Prague Castle, where the Syndicate's ghostly fingerprints seemed to linger just out of sight, a riddle wrapped in the enigma of their undisclosed intentions. With each fruitless click, my frustration simmered, a brew of impatience and determination stewing in the pot of our urgent need to comprehend the Syndicate's shadowy designs. The secrets of the castle were locked tight, guarded by the digital equivalent of ancient spells, leaving me to chase phantoms that danced just beyond my reach. In a moment of inspired desperation, I cast my net wider, feigning interest in a corporate booking the following week. The castle's liaison, his voice rich with the melodies of an accent that spoke of distant lands and tales untold, unwittingly became my guide in this labyrinth. His enthusiasm was a double-edged sword, carving out a conversation that meandered through pleasantries and near misses until, like a ship breaking through the fog, the truth emerged from his unguarded words. The castle was not, as one might innocently assume, preparing for an Easter soiree, but was instead the chosen venue for a masked ball on March 29th, a revelation that spilled from his lips like wine from an overfilled goblet. That little slip was like hitting the jackpot in the lottery of shadows, the Syndicate throwing a masquerade or perhaps sneaking into one, draped in intrigue and mystery as thick as their plots. The very idea sent a shiver down my spine, tinged with the electric buzz of danger and the adrenaline rush of near misses from days past. Cue the flashback to a night when I, in my hubris, had attempted to penetrate the inner sanctum of the Romano family's annual Mardi Gras festivity. The Romano matriarch, Bella, a spider at the center of a web woven from secrets and power, had nearly caught me in her silk. That evening, my ambition to uncover the depths of their murky world had almost been my undoing, a dance on the razor's edge of discovery and disaster. The thrill of slipping past security, the adrenaline of hacking into the Romanos' secrets, and the narrow escape from their clutches were reminders of the fine line we tread in our pursuit of the truth. Pulling myself back from memory lane, the knowledge of Prague Castle's impending masked ball settled within me, a piece of the puzzle both illuminating and foreboding, a new chapter in our tale that beckoned with the promise of shadows yet to be explored. Diving back into the heart of our puzzle box quest, RG and I swanned back into Montreal, our hipster guises wrapped around us like a cloak of invisibility. We found ourselves treading the familiar, sacred grounds of St. Agnes Church with a mix of eagerness and an ever-present hum of anticipation. Sister Marie Therese, with her serene demeanor, mentioned offhand how the stained glass had become quite the attraction lately, hinting at a recent group's visit, a reminder of the Cerberus Syndicate's snooping endeavors, as if we needed another sign that our dance with danger was far from over. The stained glass window, a vibrant guardian of tales both told and untold, stood imposingly before us, its colors a silent testament to the depth and richness of the stories it held. Our footsteps, a soft echo against the age-old stones, felt like whispers in time, each step a respectful nod to the journey that had brought us here. RG, gripping the Christmas card like a magician about to reveal his final trick, moved towards the window, a blend of caution and silent hope marking his steps. The card, loyal to the cause, threw its enchanted spotlight on the glass, setting off a silent symphony of light and shadow that the ghosts of the past themselves could have well directed. And as those figures in the glass did their dance, the spotlight narrowed down on that elusive keyhole, the very one we had come to conquer. My heart, a drummer in the quiet of the moment, beat a tad faster as I extended the key towards its lock, a key claimed from Jacques Vincent's resting place, now heavy with purpose in my hand. Yet, as the key met the keyhole, it encountered resistance, a stubborn refusal to turn that sent a chill down my spine. The stained glass, with its vibrant hues and silent tales, seemed for a moment like a gatekeeper denying us entry, holding its secrets close. So, there we were, paused in a scene of frustration and resolve, the air around us thick with the unsaid. In that silence, a connection, a mutual realization passed between the rogue ghost and me, that perhaps this wasn't the end of our quest, but a redirection, a nudge towards other keys we'd overlooked in our eagerness. Keys that had been right under our noses. In a stroke of genius, fueled by our relentless pursuit of answers and a dash of serendipitous insight, our attention pivoted back to the steadfast bronze figures of the Henry sisters, standing like timeless guardians in Mount Royal Park. There they were, each sister holding a key in their bronzed grasp, a detail that had somehow managed to skate right past our eagle eyes in our previous rush of excitement, excitement spurred by that initial key discovery at Jacques' grave, which, in hindsight, turned out to be a masterful diversion at best. As dusk painted its soft, mysterious glow over Montreal, we made our way back to the park. Only, there was a hitch in our plan. A squadron of syndicate agents had practically formed a protective circle around the statue, treating it as if it were a VIP on a leisurely park jaunt. It was time for a bit of Runeweaver and RG magic. Thinking outside the box was our specialty, after all. Ditching our hipster cover, we braced ourselves to light up the syndicate's Rapirio compasses like a neon sign in a ghost town. We quickly left the park and boarded a bus, as expected, trailed by the syndicate agents. We were like the Pied Piper gathering rats. With their attention diverted by our sudden appearance, we seized the moment and exited the bus. Back in our undercover hipster guises, RG dove into his enchanted backpack, pulling out his trusty door handle. With eyes ablaze with radiance, he conjured a personal traverse, zipping us back to the now unattended statue amidst the tranquil beauty of Mount Royal Park. Time was of the essence. We had to hustle, our brains firing on all cylinders, to determine if these statue-held keys were the missing piece of our stained glass puzzle. A quick assessment made it crystal clear, those keys were about as likely to fit the delicate keyhole as a square peg in a round hole. But, cue the dance music, because the Christmas card started flashing its lights like the main attraction at a rave. RG, ever the maestro of the moment, brought it close to the statue and its companion plaque, and to our amazement, a hidden message illuminated in an ethereal orange glow appeared. It said, "In aligned harmony, the key to unity shall be found." It was the proverbial jackpot. My gaze locked onto the three nuns, their keys held as if frozen mid-ceremony, each pointing in its own distinct direction. Beside me, RG, ever the sharp observer, was already piecing together the puzzle. A silent agreement passed between us. This was a symphony that required precise coordination. Reaching out, I manipulated the first key with ease, aligning it towards St. Agnes Church, mirroring the statue's orientation. The second key followed suit, with each movement deliberate, and each adjustment bringing us closer to harmony. As I turned the third key, it gave way with a reassuring click, a sound that promised discovery. Our breaths held, we watched in awe, as a chain materialized around Sophie Henry's statue. From it hung a small bronze key, a tangible whisper of the past reaching out to us. RG, in a display of magical skill that would make any enchanter proud, conjured up another traverse faster than a magician pulling a rabbit out of a hat. We found ourselves back at St. Agnes Church, clutching our newly acquired bronze key like it was the Holy Grail itself. RG, looking every bit the part of a runner at a marathon finishing line, seemed on the brink of magical exhaustion, a testament to the toll of our rapid-fire traversal. Anticipation crackled in the air around us, every molecule buzzing with the promise of what lay ahead. We approached the stained glass window, the Christmas card transformed once again into a beacon of guidance, its glow casting a spell over the ancient keyhole that seemed to beckon us closer. My hands, though shaking with the weight of the moment, guided the key into its waiting lock. The soft click that followed was like music to our ears, a harmonious prelude to the magic that was about to unfold. As the key turned, the stained glass before us seemed to breathe life, its colors dancing in a light not of this world. The window animated anew, not just with the tale of the Henry sisters this time, but revealing an entirely new narrative. Jacques Vincent, depicted in the vibrant hues of the glass, was shown placing a door against the tableau, an act that resonated with significance. It wasn't merely a piece of the story, it was an invitation. The depiction of the door expanded, morphing into a tangible traverse of stained glass, a portal that invited us, dared us, to cross through the looking glass into realms untold. Stepping through this new stained glass door, a traverse veiled in mystery, we entered what felt like the heart of the enigma itself. The chamber beyond was a realm of whispers and echoes, a space where time seemed to stand still, charged with the potential of revelations yet to be discovered. At the core of this hallowed chamber stood yet another tribute to the Henry sisters, but this statue had a twist. Each sister, cast in bronze, directed our attention not just with their gaze, but with pointed hands toward a central focus, a stone table that seemed to capture the essence of anticipation itself. Perched upon this table was our coveted goal, the third puzzle box. It wasn't merely sitting there, oh no, it was more like it was on display, gleaming under the chamber's ethereal light, as if it knew it was the star of the show. This wasn't just any trophy, it was the embodiment of our quest, the physical manifestation of clues unraveled and puzzles solved. But the scene was more than visual, it was a concert of sorts. The Christmas card, ever our loyal companion through trials and triumphs, played a melody so hauntingly sweet it sent shivers down the spine. The third line of our enigmatic Christmas carol filled the air, a serenade to the puzzle box, elevating this moment from mere discovery to a sensory symphony of sight and sound. However, our moment of triumph was jarringly interrupted by a voice, one that seemed to come from everywhere and nowhere. "Did you really think you were the only ones that used hacked shimmer rings?" It was Sister Marie-Therese, or so we thought, her usually calm facade melting away to reveal a syndicate agent in her place. In that pivotal moment, time might as well have hit the pause button, as we found ourselves squaring off against what you might call the ultimate plot twist. The vibe was tense, like the air before a storm, thick with the kind of suspense that makes you wish you could flip to the next chapter for a sneak peek. But as luck, or lack thereof, would have it, our proverbial victory lap got hijacked by an all-too-familiar shadow of danger. Now, as the air crackled with a blend of magic and malice, RG's face did a complete 180, shifting from battle-ready to utterly shocked. Whispering a name that cut through the silence like a knife, it was clear we were in for more than just a run-of-the-mill showdown. There, standing as the embodiment of betrayal itself, was none other than his beloved angel. Presumed lost to the veil of death, she now stood before us, not as the guardian he had once mourned, but as the very embodiment of our peril. The smirk she wore was the stuff of nightmares, setting the stage for her next move, a seemingly small, but oh so deadly glass sphere that she threw at us. It was RG's cue to take the lead in what could only be described as a heroic leap of faith, throwing himself into the line of fire, positioning himself between this harbinger of destruction and me. The world slowed, each second stretching into eternity, as I witnessed RG's silhouette engulfed by the burst of the magical explosive. There he stood, a figure etched in time, a guardian amidst the chaos, his stance a silent oath against the darkness that threatened to consume us. The aftermath left me flat on my back, staring up at the stone ceiling, as RG's once beloved angel coolly stepped past his motionless form without a backward glance, her hands claiming the third puzzle box as her prize. With an air of victory, she departed from the sanctum, leaving behind a silence that echoed with the cost of our journey. There, in the aftermath, stood the rogue ghost. Still in his shimmered hipster disguise, his figure still and silent as if carved from stone, a sentinel in the face of oblivion. Was he struck down, forever frozen in a moment of sacrifice, or was there hope yet for his revival? In that instant, I was cast adrift in a sea of uncertainty, alone in Montreal without a guide, without a plan, and without the means to return home. Until next time, my kindred spirits, keep the flame of belief ever burning.